Hello, hello, and welcome to the Feminine Magnetism Podcast with your host, me, Halai. So, so happy to have you joining in into this space where we talk about all things intuition, alignment, and pleasure power. All the episodes that you're about to listen to are completely unplanned, unedited, and divinely channeled live streams converted into audio for you. So that means that they are a little messy and imperfectly perfect, just as is the magic of the feminine. Hope you enjoy.
Compared to beauty with the masculine. This topic just showed up and just formulated in my mind. Post this morning about what it's like living with my roommate who's a guy and just what the experience of being in kind of like a level of partnership when you live with somebody that isn't romantic, that you don't have that sexual relationship. You don't have like the triggers and the emotional burden and these underlying expectations, what that experience is like and how to appreciate the masculine. And with that, I was starting to just remember, I learned so much just living with the guy and, you know, being around my guy friends. Because everything, you know, anytime I'm in any kind of interaction or getting to know somebody, I cannot turn my coaching brain off. Not that I'm coaching people. I make it very, very clear to separate that with my personal life and my business life. But I can't help but observe things through that lens and try to understand why and ask questions about what's really happening here. I can't help it. It happens. But with that, we talk a lot about, you know, three main ones. So my roommate and our neighbor, we all live like really close. All three of us are single. And to be talking about single things with two other guys and their perspective and how they experience single life and their intentions moving through, one of which is open to a relationship and the other who is absolutely not, and how that affects just the dynamic, how that affects their perception, their communication, the moves that they make, is really just fun to observe. And it's interesting because, well, a couple of things. One, I am sitting here in my my Arguello Market, San Francisco crew neck. I've had this for 8 years, and haven't even gotten dressed for the day. Just had my coffee, did some journaling, and not looking beautiful in my normal way. But we're talking about beauty today, so it's quite ironic that this is the moment that I chose to talk about this topic. But this is beauty. This is also part of it. This is the radiance and the messiness and the inconsistency of the feminine to still be beautiful in all of that. But being in this move was interesting for me because I've spent so much time in the past couple years with women, both living with my best friend Stan for almost 7 years on and off. And then with that, just being surrounded by a squad of girls wherever we've lived. You know, my travel friends have moved to other places with us. In Costa Rica, we've got just such a solid group of women that I feel close to. And when I came back to Miami, I've got girlfriends here and there, but they're not all one unit, which is a different experience to have more of a one-on-one relationship with women and then have a little bit more group time with men. But with that, I've been able to have some interesting experiences on what I'm learning, what I can perceive, and specifically on beauty. So, you know, you probably may or may not have noticed this, but sometimes you see a beautiful woman and, you know, the partner that she's with oftentimes think wow, she's way out of his league. I think that's the correct way to say the term. She's way out of his league. She's so much more radiant, and she's got so much more of this shine to her. And it's not necessarily that whoever she's with is actually unattractive or doesn't have physical attributes that make them good looking. But the feminine is naturally light. And so she carries beauty. Her essence is in beauty, and that matters a lot to her. So we typically will find that part of her more naturally. She will exude that essence of her soul more authentically than the masculine will. And so it's quite often that we'll notice beauty within a woman more often than we'll notice beauty in the masculine. So when it comes to like rating people, rating, okay, like, you know, do you think this person is better looking than this person? Or who would you choose? Like my friends will play this game with me all the time. They're like, we don't understand what Halai's type is. How can we ever find you somebody if we don't know what you want? And I actually don't think there's any consistency with my type. Like if we were to put line up all the people that I've had relationships with in the past, they don't really have much in common physically, which is great. Like I do rely a lot on energy more often than just like the immediate physical attraction. And I think that actually is quite common with the feminine altogether. So typically for the masculine, because feminine beings will radiate beauty, that's just such a core essence and such a first stage love. So when we the initial stages of attraction start out with physical, then we move more into like the mental, emotional space, and then we get into the spiritual like unification of us two. But since beauty is like a core essence of the feminine, light, she is light, that's something that the masculine will notice first and foremost. And so in the initial decision-making phase, it is based off of like her beauty. However, you might have noticed this if you ever talk to your masculine friends or partners, the way that beauty is seen for the masculine is different than how the feminine will perceive it. The thing that's different here is that when we see beauty versus how he sees beauty, we are oftentimes not looking for or receiving light in the same way. So being that we are light, we don't perceive light in others. And inversely, the masculine is consciousness. He's presence, he's consciousness. He's more of the darkness, the death, and she's life. So with that polarity, the masculine can actually notice the life and aliveness and the radiance that she has, like almost like how it's like peering out through her beyond just what kind of makeup she's wearing and the outfit she's got on and how she's done her hair. Those things are just like the ribbon, but the actual radiance and light is like peering through. It's shining in the crevices of all of that. And he can witness that in a way that we, somebody who's also feminine, does not or cannot. And so not only is it the light that's actually witnessed, but also a lot of how beauty is perceived is how we experience ourselves in the presence of somebody else's beauty. And again, when it comes to polarity, how the masculine is able to perceive her light and energy as an invitation. Okay, so is she just checking off the boxes of things that we count as beauty? Or does her energy exude an invitation to the masculine? That is a level of beauty that one, the feminine isn't able to perceive the same way, and also is just significantly more magnetic than the very like checklist things that we assume is beauty. And so that's typically what women will do, is that we adorn ourselves with what we think is going to be most received. So it's these surface level, just almost like decorations on ourselves that we think will make us be perceived a certain way or received in some capacity. But the light that we are exuding, we often can't see within ourselves. And we may not even see in other women as easily because we also retain that light. And so you can absolutely experience that, but it's the polarity, it's the contrast, and almost like the lack of light that allows the masculine to witness you in your light at a much greater level. And so this is why our scales, our rating systems are nowhere near the same. And inversely for the feminine, how she perceives beauty in her own way. It actually was really interesting when they asked me this question. My friends were asking about, like, okay, so listing off all these guys, asking me how I'd rate them. It's just really difficult because it's hard to give somebody, oh, this is objectively where you are on this scale of my attraction needs or desires. But they were playing that game, and they asked me, like, somebody who I'd been with in the past, where I would rate them. And it actually felt really bad. Initially, I gave him a 6. And it just, like, came out, and after I said it, I was thinking, oh, shoot, like, that was pretty harsh, one. And maybe there was, like, a taint of how I felt about him emotionally that was affecting his attraction. But when they asked me, they're like, what? Really, Halai? Like, you, that's saying that you actually, that's okay with you. You find yourself attracted to and drawn to and willing to pursue a relationship with somebody who you don't even find attractive. That's crazy. That's so crazy to me. And after they said that out loud, I took a moment to sit with that. Like, okay, yeah, that this answer came out of me. I don't find this person objectively the most attractive within my ideal type. But obviously there was a desire and there was a longing. And what was the aspect of him that kept this desire going despite this person not being initially what I would go for in a physical level? And what's happening here is that the feminine specifically, so much like that the masculine is looking for light, radiance, the energetic charge that she brings, there's also an energy that the masculine should be bringing to awaken the feminine's attraction potential or desire for him. And so when he brings presence, when he brings his full awareness, like this ability to be with you, to hold space with you, that in itself has the ability to create immediate attraction. And what's interesting is that can happen actually right away. The moment that you meet somebody, you can find yourself feeling this like, whoo. And it's not just their physical attributes that's creating that initial attraction. If the moment that you meet somebody and they just lock eyes with you, they're 100% there, they're so aware of you, they can truly see you, the experience of what the feminine feels like in that moment is enough to drive intense attraction. And so that's what happened with me. When I first initially met this person, I remember just feeling like, whoa. Like, I just felt so connected the immediate moment. And maybe it was the feeling of that night, the experience that we're having, all of it just felt very present. And it just felt like I felt the capacity to be vulnerable, to be here, to be witnessed, and just freely allowed to be me in that moment. And so that drove attraction very instantly. Inversely, it's the same thing for the masculine. He might initially find physical beauty, but if right off the bat, your radiance is an invitation to him, is awakening this energetic charge in him, the attraction is dramatically increased. And so that's how we can experience attraction within each other. But as a collective, beauty is owned by the feminine. It's innately a feminine trait. So we will carry beauty as part of who we are, as a core value in who we are. And so there will likely be the variation in how valuable beauty is for the masculine versus how valuable it is for the feminine. And with that, we're able to understand more so how what our needs are at different stages within the relationship. And although both have the experience of taking in the totality of a human, and obviously at different stages in the relationship, you will crave a different level of depth in your partnership. Recognizing the disparity in beauty itself, how it varies at different stages in a relationship, and how it varies between how the masculine and the feminine perceives, is totally subjective. So not only do we vary within our own realms of our energy body, but even within that, we vary on how we experience the other, on how we polarize with the other, and how we experience ourselves around the other. So a lot of it just really goes back to the individual and how we personally, with all these layers taken into account, experience beauty. So these are just some little insights that have come through. And it's interesting to pay attention to the layers that exist within all of this, that how available we are to conceptualizing the topic of energy and personal relationships to energy by just human interaction, by being in your experiences of life. And this is why my work is never separate from my life. I will say I'm very, very particular about not coaching people in real life and creating that separation. I never want to be the fixer or to intertwine those dynamics unless it's asked for. But you can't turn that side of the brain off. And when you are in the experience of your life, when you allow every moment, every interaction to serve a purpose, you become more and more in alignment with where you're going, with the lessons that you need to learn. And sometimes you can actually absorb these lessons without having gone through the messy shit and being in the triggering experiences. Sometimes you can piece things together by having this knowledge that just comes through by being in the experience of life itself. And that is embodiment, ultimately. When we are not separating the work from life, when you're not trying to heal and then go on to living your life, you are allowing the experience of life to deliver everything that it needs to deliver, and trusting that you're already ready to serve. You're already fully equipped to be in relationship to everything that's shown up for you. That whatever it is perfect. And so you're ready to relate to all that is showing up for you because you're in it. You are fully embodied in the experience itself. So if that's something that you want to go deeper with, if you want your life to just be the experience of your lessons, you don't want to have this extra avenue of doing work and healing and fixing yourself because you're not broken. You don't need all that extra fluff. Living your life, being immersed in your experiences and allowing yourself to weave through that fluidly is the work, and it doesn't have to feel like work. So this is the work that we're going to be doing in the Embodied Feminine Mentorship Program. So you're going to be in these contained spaces where you can play and practice, and you can reach those edges of what is pleasure, of your discomfort, of the part of your voice that you're holding back. Allow that to reach the edge so that when you show up in life, it flows through. You're already ready. You're already warmed up. And so that's some of the things that we're going to be practicing in our workshops, playing around with embodiment techniques, communication techniques, emerging our energy, allowing all assets of our beauty to be seen and witnessed, and what that feels like, what that feels like in a safe, contained environment to play with these edges so that when you're out in the world, it flows through you. It feels natural. You don't collapse. You don't have this sense of closure. And so these are some of the practices that we're doing. I'm so excited about what we have coming up in the workshops. I've been like playing around with games and embodiment techniques, as well as relationship practice dialogues are going to be so cool. So I'm excited to play around with that and to be in this tight-knit group. I cannot wait till we get things settled. We have about half the group filled up, and if we receive a higher demand, we'll definitely open up a second one in about 2 months. So we'll create some space before we open the next round. But it is a 4-month container. So if you want to be in this work, it's about unraveling it in over a course of time. And that's when things happen the best. Give yourself that permission to let things unfold for you rather than like checking out boxes, getting shit done. Allow it to unravel and see how beautifully it can happen when it's simply just unraveling. All right. So drop your questions here if you are uncertain about anything that I've shared today or have questions on the mentorship program or anything else you want me to share on here, ideas that come through for you. I love hearing that, especially things that you don't agree on. Like, I actually don't feel this way. I don't resonate with this. I want to hear it because I love, love, love feeling into what the complete opposite perspective is and how we can work from there. All right, talk soon.